from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
All I was trying to say about the slide...
You're in trouble. All I can say is you are in trouble, and you better hope your lovely wife was not listening to that last segment. Because there is no way that you can justify a married man sliding into people's DMs telling them how beautiful they are.
I wasn't trying to justify. All I was saying, and all I asked Heather when she was here, all I was saying is it's not really a fireball offense.
Yeah, we weren't even talking about... Well, it's a fireable offense if you're the wife doing the firing.
Well,
I would at least put you in the doghouse.
Well, since you invoked my name, G, you know, what I would say is that, yes, you're in the doghouse, and you need to work it out. And if you can't work it out, then, yeah, you kick him to the curb.
All right.
There you go.
To the curb.
There you go. What a great start to the 10 o'clock hour.
There we go. What we got going on, Ursula?
Well, coming up at 10:30 after Heather's newscast, Rachel Bell's going to join us. And you know how addicted you are to your phone? In fact, you're typing away on it right now as I'm speaking to you. Well, there's apparently a tech solution to that problem. So if you have a phone addiction like G does, you will want to stick around for this conversation. But right now...
What's new at 10?
In case you didn't hear our interview with the police chief of Seattle, who just needs to be confirmed now by the city council, Adrian Diaz said something on our show that was a bit of a surprise to us. But when it comes to defunding the police, he says, well, that's not really a thing anymore.
I think the defunding movement is, you know, I think it's dead. I think we all know that we see a higher increase of violence when we don't have any officers out in the street. But we also need to make sure that we're training our officers in the right manner as well.
Well, just no sooner did he say that, but also yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives took a vote that seems to back up that very claim. After months of debate, House Democrats passed a whole bunch of bills that would give financial millions of dollars, really, to local law enforcement agencies all across the country. So the package of bills would give funding for hiring more police officers, increasing salaries, investing in officer safety, training and body cameras, as well as mental health resources for officers, which is something that Chief Diaz spoke about yesterday. He talked about the importance of mental health. We know that the city of Seattle is trying to hire 500 officers over the next 5 years. Big incentives are being offered, not just in Seattle, but all across the region. And there's one bill that targets smaller law enforcement agencies for funding with fewer than 125 employees. So Congress goes on recess next week, and members can return to campaigning for the midterms. But there are still many who hold on to that term, defunding the police. The reason why you don't want to vote for Democrats is because they believe in defunding the police. Yeah. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Ursula, back when Donald Trump called the media the enemy of the people, you remember that, right?
Of course.
Okay. And you remember that we, here at Cairo, we had to add security during those times. You remember that, right?
Uh-huh.
My question to you, my friend, is you've been in this game 34 years. How many colleagues do you know left the media profession because Donald Trump said the media is the enemy of the people?
I don't know that anyone specifically left for that reason.
Okay. I'm bringing that up and I ask you that question because I just want to be very simple. When people text in or they tell me all the time, yeah, you know, police officers are leaving. Why are they leaving? Because of the whole defund the police thing. And then when you start looking at the numbers, you look at, especially here, the Seattle police budget. From 2015 to 2019, the Seattle Police Department budget grew by over $100 million. From $293 million to $398 million. I said it before, you said it before, we said it during the time. This slogan is the dumbest thing in the world. We said that all the time.
Well, not just the slogan, but the idea of what was behind it, unless you said, hey, it's not that we want to get rid of police. I mean, there were some very vocal few that were saying, let's do that.
I agree.
But the idea of, hey, right now, our police departments are so stretched out that we need to, you know, offload some of the responsibilities. And maybe there's some other ways that would make more sense. But some people grabbed onto the whole defund the police thing, including some of our own city council members in Seattle. And they were pushing for 50% reduction of budget. Shama Sawant being one of them.
Agreed.
And in reality, it ended up being 17%.
But the vast majority of people,
yes,
were not on the whole defund the police train. The whole slogan wasn't a good idea in the first place. But I'm just trying to show, when I give the numbers in which I did, I'm trying to show the people that say, well, the reason why crime is up is because of the defund the police. That's not true. The defund the police is not the reason for an increase in crime. Is not the reason. And by the way, if you're a police officer, and I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but you left the profession because of the saying and the slogan of defund the police.
No.
I don't know what to tell you, but
no,
you didn't know anybody that left the profession for being called the enemy of the people. And we literally had to have more security because of it.
Yes. Now, I do know people, friends of mine, officers who've talked about the lack of respect in general for cops and the feeling like, okay, you know, everything they do is wrong.
The lack of respect for media, same thing, right?
100%. But I'm just explaining on the officers' situation. And people have left the media. But when it comes to the cops, so it's all kind of lumped into defunding the police. But it's just this general sentiment like, hey, I don't enjoy my job anymore because now everything we do is wrong. Some people look at us and it just gave too much weight to those very vocal few. I think that, you know, even Chief Diaz said anymore now, they are seeing that. For the most part, they are supported.
I think what's really interesting about Congress passing this bill is I think it kind of puts that narrative to rest nationally, at least. And there was a chance this vote would not happen because the different factions of Democrats were reticent to take a vote because they thought that the more progressive wing of the caucus might choose to vote no and be shown to be publicly failing to support law enforcement and police. However, they actually got this done in the House. It'll go over to the Senate. Who knows if it will pass there? But at least on the record, when it comes to even the progressives in the House, so you're talking about the AOCs, the Rashida Tlaibs, etc., those people are on the record now as saying, yeah, we think law enforcement is important. And it puts the Democrats at least in a decent position where they can't be put back on their heels in the midterms by Republicans saying, look, they wanted to fund the police, defund the police. This was a very important vote, I think, for Democrats to take before the midterm elections. The other one I'm watching, I guess, would be the codifying gay marriage bill, if that actually gets a vote or not.
I want to end with this one, too, Ursula. It's interesting how some choose, you pick and choose when you support law enforcement. You know what I mean? You pick and choose based upon what it is that you like that they're doing. All of a sudden, it was defund the FBI.
And for then, some, again, it's a very vocal few, but all it's those voices that get amplified, whether it's defund the police or defund the FBI. Yes, I mean, there were some, was it Marjorie Taylor Greene or was it Boebert? I mean, it's always one.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. But it's the same thing. You claim to support law enforcement, and then we see what we see on January 6th. You know what I mean? And so and a lot of times we have been accused of not liking cops. Why? Because we hold someone accountable for doing something?
I think we need to move away from that whole idea of because you hold someone accountable means that you don't like them. No. I mean, it's like you can still support them.
Absolutely.
And just want better in some cases when there is evidence of wrongdoing. I want to move on as long as we're talking about quitting and leaving jobs, because you know how that whole quiet quitting trend has blown up and it's been a topic of conversation quite a bit, where the whole idea of workers staying on the jobs but just doing enough to get by as a way of protest, maybe, because they feel like they are underpaid or underappreciated or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there is an article in the Insider now that talks about there's a new term. Or maybe it's not such a new term, but maybe it's something that needs to be given more attention. And it's the idea of quiet fleecing.
Cool.
And so that's the term. And it's, you know, essentially why you're getting paid less and everyone else is talking about quiet quitting and the great resignation. So they point out in this article, and it's according to data that was analyzed by the Economic Policy Institute, that since the 1970s, U.S. wage growth has essentially stalled. This is something that you talk about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. The top 1% obviously sees the most gains when it comes to pay increases. And so, you know, one of the reasons why younger people are so much worse off than we were,
sure,
is because, and, you know, it's so much harder to buy a house, is because the stagnant wage growth in
right.
the country, despite increases in productivity, the cost of living going up so much, more output, some companies making record profits, the wage increases are just stagnant.
Right.
So what they're arguing is, why are we talking about quiet quitting? Why aren't we talking about quiet fleecing? And why aren't we turning it on its head and saying, wait, it's basically companies today, these, you know, many of the big companies today taking advantage of employees. And, you know, one of our colleagues was just saying that today, well, maybe I'm not going to share that business, but let's just say, I want to hear from you. Are you making more today? Has your wage kept up with even the rate of inflation?
Right.
If you look back at your history, and I have to be careful about what I say because obviously I've worked here for 30 years
right.
plus. But if you look at your history, right. Can you see years where, I mean, you were seriously going backwards? Or are you still going backwards right now?
Can you?
Yes.
All right. All right. So I feel like we all gathered around the kitchen table.
Yes.
Let's ask this, though. Ursula, do you think for the most part, employers take advantage of their employees when it comes to their pay?
Okay. I'm not going to put it in those terms, but I'm going to say, obviously, I mean, when it comes to whether you're a company that you're answering to shareholders, or you're a company that's you know, answering to the big bosses, you want to be able to say that you turned, you know, a big profit. And
sure.
how do you do that? Have a great product, do great sales, also find ways to be economical. And what is one of your biggest expenses?
Come on.
Wages.
Wages. And so you started off this discussion, Ursula. You started off that this has been a problem since the 70s, and this is continuing. But now what I find starting to happen, and by the way, I got to thank these youngsters. I got to thank Gen Z, and I got to thank the pandemic. The discussions and the conversations that we are now having, they're being had. They're basically, people are talking about it. People are saying, you know what? I'm not working there. I'm not going to give you everything that I need, even though you and I don't agree with that type of work ethic and things, because you and I are old school. But these new school folks are coming in and they're basically saying, you know what? You're going to pay me my worth, or I'm going to go somewhere else. There's a lot of places that are hiring, and I'm going to work for you. I'm going to give you very little, and I'm giving you very little. I'm going to have a second job on the side. All of these things are happening, and for once, finally, the tables are I'm not saying they've turned, but they're starting to turn. And I'm just saying this. I'm just looking forward to the day. I'm looking forward to the day where companies say, you know what? We're going to post everybody's salaries.
Well, it's required now, right?
Well, next year, job listings will be posted.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We're going to post everybody's salaries so we know what everybody in the building gets paid. That's number one. We're going to quit making it this secret. Don't tell anybody your salary. So that's going to happen. And then we're just going to flat out get to the point where we can say to John or Sally or whoever it is, instead of trying to lowball you with your salary, we're going to give you what the job requires. This is the budget. This is what we have it budgeted for. It's not going to be this, we have it budgeted for $100,000, but we're going to try our best to give Sally $80,000. Can we stop with those games?
I think what is kind of heartening about this moment, as depressing it is, as it is watching the cost of living go up and wages not keep up, is that it does not matter what your policies are, whether you vote Democrat or Republican. I think everybody in this country can look around them and say, things are costing me more. It's impossible for my kids to buy a home. It's going to be impossible for me to send them to college, or they're going to need to get perfect grades to get a scholarship. Something is broken. And we can either try and revamp the entire education system. We can try and revamp the entire housing market. We can have government prop up people with more entitlement programs, or we can demand more money for from our employers. And I think that is that makes the most sense. That is the easiest solution. And when we see hundreds of billions of dollars going into stock buybacks, when we see the people at the top of the companies making on average 350 times more than the average worker, it's pretty easy to see who the villain is here.
Well, and it points out this article, exactly, Chef, and it also points out in this article that that's one of the reasons why you're seeing more strikes. And I think it was in the first half of this year, there have been about 180 strikes, labor strikes, and that's up from 102 just last year. So employees are fighting back more. But yeah, the quiet fleecing. I look forward to seeing what our text line shows.
I know. I ain't seen it in a minute.
Yeah, because if you're not even keeping up with the rate of inflation, you're going backwards.
Can I just give a suggestion? Because I know you have the quiet quitting going out there. You have employees that are basically, you know, working a little less and kind of doing their thing. The only recommendation I have, I'm not saying don't work hard. You should have a work-life balance. But if there's one suggestion I have is this. If you do have a little extra time on your hands, make sure you're coming up with a side, a side hustle. Make sure you're doing something else to kind of make up for that. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to do that quiet quitting and start to say, I'm going to work less and then don't utilize that time. That's all I'm saying. I'm just trying to give a little bit of advice. Utilize that time to kind of.
Yeah. My son just asked me yesterday. He said, because he had to work overtime. It was the first time in his new job that he worked overtime. And he said, you know, my boss asked, who wants to volunteer? It wasn't that you're going to work it. And she had asked about, does anyone work on the weekend? And he said, I felt bad that I didn't say yes about last weekend. So I said yes this time around. And I told him, and I was thinking to myself, is this the right message? I said, anytime you can, jump on the opportunity to work overtime.
That's what I'm saying. So me and you are old school, Ursula. That's what I'm saying.
I did the same thing when I was 22. A lot of people are not in the life circumstance where they can do that.
Right.
They might have a second job. They might have kids. They might be taking care of their parents.
So while you have that opportunity, do it.
That's right. Let's see. What are we going to argue about next, Ursula? I know we got
Your phone addiction? Rachel Bell's going to join us.
I don't talk about this. We're going to be talking about phone addiction, and this is where Ursula's going to make fun of me. We'll do that next. G and Ursula.
Back to the G and Ursula show. Rachel is here. And Rachel, during the break, I told you to take a look at what G was doing.
Oh, I am so interested to see what G thinks about this story. Remember before we had smartphones, you didn't have an option to take pictures or video when you were at a comedy show or a concert. Those days are coming back.
When you go to a concert or a comedy show, you might watch the act through a sea of cell phones raised above people's heads as they capture the performance. You might think it's annoying. And some entertainers feel the exact same way.
So I went to go see the comedian John Mulaney at the White River Amphitheater.
That's my colleague Aaron Mason. He says at that show, no one was allowed to use their phones.
They gave you these bags, the size of like an oversized cell phone. And then you close the top of it, and there's a little snap. Once it snaps shut, stays shut. It doesn't come open. You go and you have your phone on you the whole time, which I really like. And then at the end of the show, all of the staff that were there checking tickets when people came in are now there with little devices to unlock your phone bag.
The phone bag was created by a company called Yonder.
Yonder is a company that creates phone-free spaces for educators as well as for performers.
That's Dawson Ludwig, Yonder's director of music and events.
When you step into a performance space, you've got a room full of people who are attentive. They do not have their phones on them, and it creates this amazing synergy between performer and audience.
Like we all used to experience before we had smartphones. Artists hire Yonder to come on tour with them and provide the pouches at all of their shows.
Jack White, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, Kevin Hart, Bob Dylan, John Mulaney, Amy Schumer did a tour with Madonna before the pandemic. Quite a few.
They also work with some comedy clubs who use the Yonder pouches for every performance every night of the week.
There's such a huge value in creating some privacy. There's obviously a whole internet filled with leaks and bootlegs and whatnot, and comedians are very invested in making sure that what they say on stage stays in that room.
But more importantly, people are forced to be in the moment.
I really liked it. I really noticed a difference in the amount of attention people were paying because they weren't sitting there looking on their phones or busy taking pictures and video. They had to pay attention. And that feedback from the audience, it's reciprocal. And the more engaged the audience is, the better that performance is probably going to be. And so I really liked it.
Don't worry. Yonder makes sure that people don't go into these situations blindly.
We go to great lengths to make sure that we're educating fans. It's on the ticket page. It's on the event page. There's signage as you walk up. There's also oftentimes messages directly from artists through their platforms, social media, website, that this is going to be a phone-free show. And that's a good thing. It's not a punishment. We want you to have the best experience possible.
And if you need to call the babysitter or use your phone for any reason, there are spaces in the venue away from the performance area where they will unlock your pouch. Yonder is also being used in other places where focus and attention is desired.
We're in over 1,000 schools in the U.S., and it's a completely phone-free school. They place their phones in a Yonder pouch. Obviously, they keep possession of it. Depending on the school and their policy, they'll have access to use their phone at, say, lunch or recess. But that's up to the school. Giving teachers, in a similar way that we give performers, a platform to do what they need to do without having a distracted audience.
Dawson says they also service weddings and parties. Would you
really
be happy
nice.
If every show you went to was like this?
I don't know. Yeah, probably. I was going to say no, because sometimes you want to take a picture. But if nobody was allowed to do that, then there wouldn't be like the FOMO about missing capturing the moment. So I think it would result in better shows and better times out, for sure.
What do you think, G?
I agree with this 100%. And I'm not being sarcastic. And here's why. The last time I had to put my phone in the case, the last two times I had to put my phone in the case was Dave Chappelle. He was here at Climate Pledge. We had to put our phones in the case.
So you've experienced this.
Yes. And Kevin Hart was the first time that I ever had to put my phone in the case. Sometimes I have to protect myself from myself.
Yes.
Like, there have been times that I really want to. The Ken Burns doc that I'm into right now, I had to put my phone across the room so that I can really focus on it. I have to protect myself. And I do believe that the overall experience is better. At Delilah's down, when I was down in L.A. just recently, it was a place, no pictures. You can't do any pictures because there's a lot of folks that's in there. You couldn't do any pictures. I found that the energy in the place was fantastic because nobody was leaning on the phones.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, Rachel, G, anyone listening right now, When was the last time that you looked back at any video or those millions of pictures that you have taken during a concert? Like, who is that for?
Well, it's for social media, because I used to think the same before Instagram was really big. Like, what are you going to do with this video? People want to brag. That's all that social media is. People post these videos. I was at this show. That's what they do with them. And then they probably never watch them again. So this allows you to actually just be there enjoying it instead of thinking, what is my caption going to be? Yeah. When am I going to post this? What am I going to post? And then your friends don't have to have FOMO that you didn't invite them to be there.
Exactly. Because I never look at other people's concert pictures
or fireworks
or videos or fireworks. Or that's the other thing too. Yes. And then the other thing is, when they're doing the video and you see that light and they're blocking right because they're trying to get the right angle, it's like, okay.
You're watching through their phone.
Exactly.
I'm with G. I need a nanny state. I can't control myself. No. Sometimes at home, I have to turn my phone completely off if I'm watching something or reading something. And even then, you notice, how many times do you reach for it? It's constant. I feel this constant pull, and then I see that it's off, and then I feel this, like, oh, this sadness. Yeah. It's, you can feel your addiction when you don't have access to it, and that's a lesson in itself.
I think what I'm going to do to myself, I think I'm going to take the notifications off of my social media.
Oh, you have to do that.
If I take that off, at least I'm chill for a minute. I might cut down 15%. And by the way, every Sunday when I get the screen time, it is embarrassing.
I will say, though, that it's not as accurate about just being on. So, because sometimes it tells me you were on for 5 hours. I'm like, what?
It's accurate.
It's when you're using the directions on your phone. Yes. It's when you're looking at the weather. It's like all of that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it sounds like I'm practically on there 24/7.
Now, I know you make fun of me, but let me ask you this, Ursula. Since you've been doing a show with me, are you on your phone more?
Way more. It's just not, and I'm not saying that.
Why?
It's a good thing. Well, because we're all interacting with each other, even
during the day,
after the show, sharing stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading. My eyesight has gone horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it has just really gotten bad the last couple years.
And what you been doing at nighttime,
years.
Ursula?
Yes.
Scrolling.
Yeah, too much scrolling, TikTok, everything.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.
By the way, love your shirt.
Oh, thank you so much. He loves a fruit shirt. Who knew? Didn't know he loves
fruit
citrus
slices.
So much.
Hey, coming up next on the show, find out what happens when she writes in and says, it's only date number 6 and he wants the magic to happen, but I have a rule that is date number 10. We'll discuss that next. I tell you, Nick, you in your bag today, bro.
We in a vibe right now.
It is the G and Ursula Show. Agree to Disagree comes up next, but now time for scenarios.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Okay, ride with me for a second here. This weekend, I'm celebrating date number 6 with a guy. He's pretty awesome and everything I want in a boyfriend, but he wants to keep things casual. I'm okay with this, but he has been pressing for magic on magic. You know the word magic, Ursula. Anyway, he's been pressing for magic on our last 2 dates, and I told him that I don't have magic with the guy who I'm not in a committed relationship with. Well, we slowed it down and still had a great date anyways, but I can't lie. I even want the magic, but I don't want to break my code. I have several strict rules that I always follow. First, no magic with anyone who won't commit to being exclusive, and he is honest enough to tell me that he's not. 2, no magic until date number 10. Like I said, this will be date number 6 coming up, and I'm worried there may not be a number 10. And third, I feel like I should know if there is a long-term possibility with a guy after date number 3. And I have no idea after the first 5. We act like a couple when we are together. He acts like he's really into me, but I don't want to be in a world where we act like a couple, but we really aren't. So, what should I do? Should I start to relax on my code? Change it? I'm starting to second guess. I need your help with what I should do next. 888-973-5476. Ursula, you're on the call first. Yes, I had to do magic.
Did you just come up with that?
The magic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
You can see it. It's all through it. I'm like, this is a kid-friendly show. I knew I had to change it to magic.
Because up until today, I only associate magic with David Copperfield. Okay, that's just that's a lot. That just reminds me of the days when I used to spend New Year's Eve when I was younger, coming up with my list of 50 resolutions. You know, yeah. Or you know, write out all the different things that you want in that future boyfriend or whatever it is. I mean, she's come up with a, you know, not until this, until 10, not until things change.
Right, right.
And so, if he's not willing to commit, the question for you is: are you willing to change your stance and have an intimate relationship, even though you have no commitment? If you're okay with that, if you can reconcile that within yourself, then go for it.
Right.
If that's something that's just going to bug you and is a deal breaker for you, then right. Go for that too. And then just be willing to, but it sounds, there's too much rigidity in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Chef, before you go, let me just go for it. I got to get this out of the way. Cause you guys always make fun of me. You guys say, does he always say it every single show? I sure do. In 2022, nobody's waiting 10 dates. Okay, go ahead.
Not true. Sweeping statement, not true.
Go ahead, Chef.
Well, you're right. It is a sweeping statement, Ursula, but here's another sweeping statement. Everybody has rules until you find the person with which they don't matter.
That's exactly right.
So that's what I would say, is that this guy sounds, you know, sounds great. Sounds like you really like him and everything. But it sounds like you are not really right for each other. Mm. The only thing I would say is that not perfect for you can also mean not perfect right now. Relationships can grow. You don't need to feel the magic with someone for there to be magic present in your relationship. 10 dates, though.
10 dates.
Okay, I have to.
You know how expensive that is, Ursula?
I have an observation from our text line.
What's that?
Joey texted in and said, date number 10, good luck. You're going to be single forever.
Come on, Joey.
Forever in caps. But Linda and Lacey says, keep the cookie jar on lockdown.
Linda, what's up with that? Wait a minute. Joey, it is 2010, y'all.
2010.
22.
I think that magic has got you discombobulated.
2022, Ursula. Ain't nobody waiting 10. 10?
Nobody gonna buy the cow if they get the milk for free.
See,
G.
Yes.
You forget that there are people. I mean, even Russell Wilson became a born-again virgin. There are people who believe in saving themselves for marriage. And I have great respect for those people. I'm not being facetious. I'm being honest. If you have that kind of self-control and principle and discipline, more power to you.
Tamara in Tacoma agrees with us. She says forever single. She agrees with me and Joey. All right, Brother Nick, what you got?
Well, I can understand a little bit of caution in this one for her. This guy is in a relationship hot rod or something, and he's in the fast lane. Like Ursula said, go with your heart. But it seems like this magic maybe might be a little bit of hoopla in my book. This guy hit one in the gap, and we're reviewing if he's safe at third right now.
Oh!
Remember, magic is the word G came up with.
It's
gonna be our code word for everything.
I mean, look at all that.
I gotcha.
I mean, it was all through it.
I gotcha.
There's no magic in there. I had to make magic.
Yep. Family show.
All right. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, it is time for Agree to Disagree and find out already what me and Chef are beefing about. And it has to do with the undercover Tacoma cop. We discuss that next. G and Ursula.